954. sincerely thankful. And our greetings to Jay Green is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Barker next door today. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper will gradually be observed at this service. Let us further sing hymn number 643.
give the Lord and the name of May. I will call your attention again to the text that we have this morning. You'll find it in the 28th Psalm, the last verse, verse 9. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. The ninth verse of the 28th Psalm. Save thy people and bless thy inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. This morning, as we were enabled, we tried to set forth how this people were saved with an everlasting salvation in the first phrase. They are God's people, thy people, and that they are saved through the finished work of Christ. But as we went on, we tried to show that the blessing of this was in the Holy Ghost revealing it to these people separately and personally in their soul's experience. For I remember in my early seeking days when it was urgent with me, all I used to think is the whole world is saved and I'm damned. What would it matter? Oh, it was my own soul. And if the Lord exercises you like this, you'll want his blessing to be felt and realized in your soul. You'll not be able to sit down and hold your arms at ease and say, well, what is to be will be, in an antinomian way. No, you'll want the experience of it in your heart. And you'll be brought to believe that God has a people, sovereignly he has chosen them, that all your trouble will be, you are belong to that people, and it will be your mercy if that is your exercise, and it will be your blessing if the Lord ever reveals it to you, to the satisfaction of your soul, and gives you a sweet assurance through the revelation of Christ to your heart, and that brings into your soul's experience that blessed peace that comes of forgiven sin, sin put away by the sacrifice of himself. For if he fills you with that, it's a little of heaven become below. There is no greater blessing on earth than this, to know that your sins are put away and that heaven will be yours at last. But as we went on, we noticed that this blessed word, save thy people, oh, it is the prayer of the Lord's people throughout nature and will be to the end. For there is so much in their experience they find they need saving from. We just touched on one or two of these things this morning. And we touched on this bewitching world and this sinful self that we brought into this world. The pride, the sin that is in it, the iniquity that is in it. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God himself knows the depth of it. But what a prey it is to Satan. He can work upon it as he is permitted and bring you into real trouble in his temptations, his harassings, and in hurling dreadful shafts into your soul, like poisoned arrows into your heart, in that dreadful, blasphemous thoughts, even imaginations. Oh, it's a solemn thing when you've been left a little in the hands of Satan. Well, all these things will bring you to this, Lord, save me, oh save me from these things. And then there are things in Isaiah that we need to be saved from. Oh, how it is possible for us to get settled down in a kind of a carnal security and an indifference to real exercise, a wandering heart, wandering away really from deep exercise and trial, and settling down, as it were, upon perhaps upon your past experience. And you know the Lord won't even let you do that. No, you'll need saving from that. Oh yes, I know what it is to make a god of my own experience and to think nobody had no like it. But oh, the Lord will bring you into such a place, he'll strip you of everything and your soul feeling that you've got nothing left at all. And you may look back and you cannot find anything that will comfort your soul at the present time. All seems befogged in a mist, and Satan works havoc within in unbelief, infidelity sometimes, and oh, how you need prayer in your heart, save me, O Lord, even from these things, even from settling down on a form of religion without the power of it. That is, I mean, in the present power of it. You may have known the power of real religion in your beginning, and perhaps in a sweet deliverance, but it is possible to settle down, you know, on what God gives us, and not to be exercised. But if you're one of his, he'll deal with you, and he may lead you for a time to walk in this path, but sooner or later, oh, his love is so great, he'll not leave you altogether. He will send something into your path that will be a rod, that will correct you. Oh, how we need to be saved, even from these things. There is also a possibility of settling down under error, under false teaching, that perhaps on the face of it doesn't seem to be false. For there is very little discernment in congregations today, very little. I sometimes feel, and I've said it, that I believe some of the most dreadful errors could be brought out in the pulpit, not one voice would be against it in these days. There's so little discernment, but all to be saved from these things. And there are so many things that dishonor Christ. As we said this morning, how much there is that dishonors the Holy Ghost in his personalities, Godhead, in these days. Oh, to be saved from these things, to be well taught by the Holy Ghost, his solemn truth. He will never teach error. He will never condone with error. No, no. And it is a mercy if he gives you that discernment, saves you from falling into these pitfalls, these wretched things that Satan is ever ready to bring before God's people, and unless they're kept, they fall into these things. It's a sad day in which our lot is cast in. But oh, it's a wonderful mercy if this prayer is in your heart. Lord, save me. Save me from every evil. Save me from everything that would dishonor thy name, thy holy name, and thy Save me from things that I can't even discern and see myself. Give me wisdom, light, to understand that which is right and which is for my glory and honour. Oh, save me from anything and everything else. It's a good prayer, my friends. And if you know anything of the teaching of God in your soul, you'll learn your own weakness. You'll learn your liability to fall. Not only to outward sin, but to inward things. And to be giving way, perhaps, to certain things. In this day, it just comes to my mind how many there are who profess and who throw out what disturb the free offer of salvation. There is no such thing in the scriptures. No. God in his infinite mercy, the Holy Ghost, sweetly forces salvation onto his people. Even if they're unwilling, he makes them willing in the day of his power. And he makes Christ so precious that he draws them to him. That all this wretched, in this wretched day, these half-taught men who think they know something, they bring out these errors, and underneath it is Arminianism. One wonders if, and sometimes I've said it, one wonders whether these people will at last be found guilty of that awful sin against the Holy Ghost. For it is the only God, the Holy Ghost, in his power to convince of sin. It is only he that can make the gospel attractive. It is only he that can give us to feel our need of it. It is only he that can breathe life into the dead soul. It is his sovereign act. Man has nothing to do with it. Never can. No. Although we know that the Lord uses means, he uses the preaching of the gospel and other means, yet these means, if he blesses them, the power is his, absolutely his, and there is nothing of the creature about it. No. How dishonoring it is to the Lord. You might be left to condemn out and out free will. But this specious error that is creeping into the denomination, I warn you of it, this that we call the free offer of salvation, how dreadful it is. It is no better than rank free will. It is nothing else. It's sprang from hell, and it will end there. Arminianism. What a solemn insult it is to the Holy Ghost. It is only his prerogative to give life to God's people, and he will retain that honour to himself. He'll never give it to purely sinful men. Never. No. Oh, he'll never give it to us because of any endeavours of ours. No. No, it is of his own free sovereign grace and mercy that he quickens God's people. But all these are a few things that, if you understand them at all, and if the Holy Ghost gives you to see the evil of them, it will bring out of your heart, "Thou save me, O Lord, do save me from these things. Oh, teach me thy truth, and let me only have that which is to thy honour and glory, that which will at last bring me to thy blessed self in a glorious heaven." When thy goes on, "Bless thine inheritance." Inheritance? Inheritance? Oh, what a word to give to God's people, isn't it? But all the things that they have, they inherit them, but not by any endeavours of their own. No. You know, an inheritance, you know, in nature, is something that is given, willed in a certain will. Perhaps a parent wills certain things, all his possessions perhaps, to his family, his elder son perhaps. It is his inheritance. The will, of course, must be drawn up, and it must be according to the law, and a properly made up will, even in our nation yet, cannot be altered once the testator has passed away. But of course it has no force while the testator liveth. But when he passes away, it becomes law, and no one can alter it. Well now, oh, what a blessed thing this is, to be favoured, to inherit all the blessings of salvation, all that is contained in the gospel of Christ, and that God's people do inherit it. They do. It was willed to them in eternity by the Father, through the finished work of his Son, as he gave this people to his Son to redeem them. And the will is signed, sealed, ratified by the precious blood of Christ. Ah, yes. And he died. And therefore, this will is of force. And oh, what a mercy it is. If we have any evidence that this inheritance is ours, thine inheritance, bless thine inheritance. The Lord calls his people his inheritance, and so they are. But they are blessed with an inheritance of everything that's good through the finished work of Christ. And they inherit this. It is willed to them in the eternal covenant of grace, ordered in all things and sure, and nothing can ever alter it. But oh, what a mercy it is to have some evidences that it is ours. Well now, if you look at this, the natural figure of this, in that nature, literally, a son of a young man, say for instance, he may know in his early days that when his parent passes out of time, that perhaps a goodly fortune will be his. But until that time, it's only in a kind of a promise to him. But there will be times when he'll live upon that promise in his mind, and perhaps if he happens to have perhaps a rough passage in this life, and he has things against him that he doesn't like, they may come up in his heart naturally, the feeling, well, I won't always be like this with me. No, one day I shall inherit a fortune. Are those I like then? This naturally may come up in the mind. I know there's not much of this nowadays, but it used to be so. But there's a similarity in the case of God's people. If the Holy Ghost gives them a sweet hope that this inheritance is theirs, are they not coming to it yet, do they? No, it's all laid up for them in heaven. But oh, there are times, you know, when they rejoice in prospect of this inheritance. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever rejoiced in your heart in the midst perhaps of trouble, trial, temptation, Have you ever felt a sweet hope when it won't always be tribulation? It won't always be sorrow, grief, and trouble. No, it won't always be separation from Him I love. It won't always be affliction or afflictive dispensations in my lot. No, there's a day coming when you'll notice the spouse says in two places in Solomon's Psalm, she says she speaks of the day breaking. When the day breaks, the shadows flee away. Ah, it is as though she has faith in her heart, in exercise, that shadows one day and troubles will flee away. And then the day will break. It seems as though she looks upon this life not as the real day, no, but often as a dark path. A dark path, shadows across her pathway, mountains hiding him from her. But she can say in the fullness of faith, when the day dawns and the shadows flee away. And have you ever felt that in your heart? Ever felt a sweet anticipation of heaven through the finished work of Jesus, through an experience of it in your heart, given by the Holy Ghost? Or have you ever felt strengthened by it, helped in your troubles, as perhaps some sweet promise of this has come into your heart with sweet power? Where the word of the King is, there is power. And sometimes you know the Holy Ghost drops a word into the hearts of His people as they travel along in this wilderness journey, tried with many, many things. He drops the word into their heart of comfort, help that strengthens their faith. And they live for a time under the felt sense of that word. But he takes that felt sense goes away again. And into the dark and the floods and the storms and tempests, perhaps they come into again. But does he leave them? No. Whatever he has promised them, he will bring to pass. Nothing is surer, nothing. Ah, no. You know, I may have told you before I left Yorkshire on that word. I will bring the blind by a way they know not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. crooked things straight. And he has fulfilled it and is fulfilling it. And it ends up, these things when I don't want to them and not forsake them. It has been darkness, it has been light, it has been the blind groping his way in unknown paths, couldn't see an inch before him. And yet, at times, darkness has been turned into light, and crooked things also crooked. We've tried our strength to straighten until we've had no strength left, and then we've cried unto the Lord in our trouble, and He in His infinite mercy has straightened them many, many times. But in it all, He has not forsaken us. No. He has not forsaken us. He'll fulfill His word if He gives you a word. He will indeed. this inheritance, in difficult times to feel a sweet encouragement about it, that one day you'll enter into it. We read in the 107th Psalm, don't we, of those tossed up and down on the ocean. He raises song it rings, which lifteth up the waves thereof, they mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted by reason of trouble, but then they cry unto the Lord, and that the Lord makes the storm calm, and that he, we read over his beautiful words, so he bringeth them into their desired haven. And the desired haven of God's people, which is desired by them in their right mind, is that heaven where Christ is. Christ is heaven. Oh, he is peace, he is holiness, he is rest. And he will so work in the minds and experiences of his people that I believe every one of them, before they get to the end, will long for this rest. They long to be brought into this rest that remains for the people of God. Oh, one thinks many a time, the greatest blessing will be to see that glorious Christ, and to cast one's crown at his feet, and to sing that song of redemption throughout a never-ending eternity. Oh, all the blessing of this in prospect sometimes. We hope we have seen him here by the eye of faith on two special occasions, but oh, how the soul sometimes longs to see him forever, to be near him, to be like him, to have done with all the changes, the vicissitudes of this time stay, to be taken into a glorious heaven at last. Well, this is the inheritance of God's people. This is what awaits them. And all through the agonies of the blood shedding of Jesus. Oh, let us never forget that. But oh, what an inheritance it is. And they are God's inheritance. Bless thine inheritance. And then he goes on, feed them also. Feed them. Oh, yes, they will need food. Oh, they will. What is their chief food in this life? It is again Christ, as Christ is revealed to the soul. Did he not say to those unbelieving Jews, except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, ye have no life in you? Oh, what a mercy it is if we've done this by faith. That is, if we've had all our hopes upon his incarnation, him coming into this world and taking flesh and blood, to live in it, to redeem his people, to work out a righteousness for them, and to shed that precious blood in remission of their sins. Oh, this is by faith, eating his flesh, drinking his blood. It's a mercy to be favored with it in faith at times, to feel that your whole salvation depended upon him coming into this world in flesh and blood. You live upon it to be full to your soul, this flesh and blood, spiritually. And oh, what a feast it is when he gives you this in your heart. You live upon him. The poor unbelieving Jews could not understand it. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And many that were called disciples walked with him no more. We're not left in any indecision or doubt about them. They walked with him no more. Then he turned to his disciples and he said, will ye also go away? What a word, wasn't it? Have you ever felt that word in your heart? Perhaps when you had something in your a temptation or something in your inclinations to go away. Nobody knew it, perhaps, but yourself. But as the Lord ever spoke that word to you in such a circumstance, will ye also go away? Where is your love to me? Where is your love to me? Will you go back half as it were into the world? Will you betake the ball together with its things? Will it go away from me? Oh, for mercy to be kept by the grace of God in exercising your soul, kept near to Him, humbly at His feet, relying upon Him for His help, His keeping power, for strength daily, hourly, against temptation, against inclinations of your sinful nature. Oh, He alone can keep you. But oh, what a mercy it is when He does keep His people and He feeds them. I freely feed them now. But oh, when He brings them into the glorious inheritance at last, oh, to feed upon Him forever and ever. We read on in Revelations, and again they sang hallelujah, as if, and there we're told that He will lead them unto springs of living water. Ah, it is as though they see some new beauty in Him, some fresh discovery of His lovely person. And again they sing hallelujah. But oh, what a mercy it is. But this word in the margin also, if we're told, are rule for them. What an appropriate word it is. Don't you want Him to rule for you and in you? Or do you think you can rule everything yourself? That you can rule for yourself and you can manage for yourself nicely? Thought I could when I was in my own regeneracy. But oh, what a mercy it is to have this feeling of dependence upon Him. Depend on Him, thou shalt not fail. Make all thy wants and wishes known. Fear not, His merits must prevail. Ask what thou wilt, it shall be done. Oh, yes, feed them also, and rule them also. Oh, what a mercy to have the sweet ruling of Christ in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and to feel it. That is His fear and exercise in your heart, and walking as it were in the light of His countenance, and consciousness of His eye being upon you, and the feeling in your heart of the preciousness of Christ, and that all the longing, a feeling in your heart to fall into His hand altogether, a poor, weak, helpless world, and begging of Him to do everything in you and for you, to rule for you, to feed you and rule you, rule within you, and rule without too. The circumstances of your path, everything is in His hand, you know, and it is a mercy to feel it. But then He comes to this at the end, and our time is going, and lift them up forever. Sometimes He gives them a little lifting up in this life as He reveals His mercy afresh to them, as He blesses them with a word now and then, makes Christ precious, and that lifts them up out of their doubts and fears, doesn't it? But this word says, lift them up forever. There's no lifting up in this life that is permanent. No, the Lord will smile now and then upon His people, but it is through much tribulation, and in that tribulation they learn much. But it is not a lifting of them out of this body of sin and death, their soul lifted above all that is evil into that glorious heaven that he has prepared for them. Oh, lift them up forever, forever. What a climax, so to speak, this is to the text. Lift them up forever, and he alone can do it. What a favour it will be when we are drawing near to our end, if this is the language of your heart. Lord, lift me up forever. Though my body goes into the ground, to the dust it was created from, through sin, oh, may my poor soul be lifted up forever through the righteousness and the blood of atonement of Christ, through his finished work, his intercession in heaven. Oh, lift me up forever. Well, this was the prayer of the psalmist. Save thy people, bless thy inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever. Lift them up from this poor, vain, sinful world, with all its wickedness, with all its sin, and from all that is in their sinful nature, into a glorious heaven at last, where all is peace and rest, and perfect holiness. Here I must leave it. May the Lord bless his word to us. Amen.